Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We've been waiting for these matchups for months. Mahomes versus Watson, Astros versus Yankees. We're going to see those three times this weekend. It's a wonderful sports weekend. And speaking of Mahomes versus Watson, 2 days from now, the Texans head coach Bill O'Brien, he's about to be live at the podium out there at NRG. He's going to speak his final words before the Texans get on the plane and head to KC. We got him, Figgy?
All right,
Bill O'Brien walking to the podium. Let's go to Bill O'Brien live out there at NRG 2 days before Texans Chiefs.
These things seem like they should be less formal. You know what I mean? Like I should just sit in a chair and, you know what I mean? What's happening? Good player, very smart player, active player, does a lot of different things for him, plays in the deep part of the field, plays down near the line of scrimmage, very instinctive player, and excellent player.
Last year when you played in Indy, that was the first one of 9-12. You were 0-3 at the time, and had kickstarted. Obviously, you could have known you were going to go on the run, you did, but at the time, did you realize how important that hit in that first win was?
It's hard to go to 0-4. That's all I remember. You know, we're on to this season now, so I'm really focused on the Chiefs. But just thinking back to that game, you know, that was a back and forth game. It was a great football game, but you know, we had to do whatever we had to do to win against a great team. We were excited. You know, we knew we had a chance to, you know, get the ball right there, good field position. You know, I remember that, and had a good idea what we wanted to call. Deshaun and offense, Hop did a great job on that next drive. Kenny would be a game time decision. And I would say that Kiki's done a good job. Yeah, I mean, you know, he missed a lot of time. No fault of his own, just in the Green Bay preseason game, got injured. He's come back. And he's had some really good couple weeks of practice, stringing good practices together, and that shows up on the game field. Yeah, I don't really think that way. I think it's more about, you know, designing the plays relative to run or pass, you know, based on what we believe the defense is going to do and then being able to adjust during a game, you know. So I think that at the end of the day, when a pass is called, it's all Deshaun and how he reads the coverage and where the ball should go, because there's a lot that goes into it. You know, it's coverage, it's pressure, it's there's a lot that matchups, you know, there's a lot that goes into the decision-making relative to Deshaun making the right decision. And so I think it's more about that than it is, you know, specific guys. You know, certainly there's certain plays where the ball, you know, is going to go to certain guys, but for the most part, that's not the case.
There's a lot of different scenarios that are going through your mind. So when they decide to go for it on fourth down, you don't have a lot of time to prepare, but I know you prepare for it during practice, but what's going through your mind?
You know, just where the ball is relative to the field position and then how much yardage they need for it, and then based on all that, maybe you have an idea of what they might do. It's called a gotta have it situation. So they gotta have that play. We've gotta have that play. And so we try to do the best we can to study those types of plays, just like everybody else does. We don't have the market cornered on these things. You know, we're just trying to do the best we can to put our players in the position to make those plays. No. That's a good question. I mean, you know, it's a lot louder on the road. I think when you – it's just the actual technique of how you speak to him through the helmet. I mean, really it is. I mean, you just cannot you can't really yell. You have because that's blaring in his ear. So we try to do a good job. You know, it's a button that you push that allows you to talk to him. So you just try to do as good a job as you can of, you know, articulating what you want in a fast – pace with crowd noise relative to at home. It's not loud because the crowd is allowing you to communicate. So just it's really more about crowd noise. Yeah, I would say on the road, I think the crowd noise probably affects the communication and the core of the formation on offense, you know, so the quarterback's communication to the offensive line. You know, I think a lot of the perimeter things are done by signals and eye contact and things like that that would happen in a home game. But I think the core of the formation, the communication that has to take place on the road is something that you really have to practice, which, you know, you guys have been at practice. We crank the music. You know, we're big fans of music, all kinds of music, and we crank it. Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, we'd be idiots not to prepare for that, right? He's a great player, and he's a game breaker. And we just, you know, if he plays, we just have to do as good a job as we can of knowing where he is and do as good a job as we can of defending him. Go Astros, by the way. Cole, that guy's a great, great pitcher. That's just probably the understatement of the year. Go Astros.
Wow, B.O.B. Oh, now, man. That's something nobody's talking about right there.
Breaking news.
Gerrit Cole is a good pitcher. Thank you very much, Bill O'Brien. His Texans team faces the Chiefs in 2 days. You heard him talk about Tyrann Mathieu. Tyrann Mathieu had something to say about Bill O'Brien. We'll hear that in just a few minutes. But you just heard him mention the Strohs. The Strohs yesterday, game five, first inning, 4 runs on 5 hits. It looked like the Astros were going to run away with this. However, no base runners for the Astros until a two-out walk to Michael Brantley in the fifth. Their first hit came with 1 out in the seventh, and they still they were still stuck on 4 in the bottom of the eighth of a 4-1 game. However, Michael Brantley, Jose Altuve, both homer back-to-back. All of a sudden, the Astros have a 6-1 lead, and that's how it ended.
That's how it ended.
Here's the final call.
Well, 1-2. Astros, Yankees, Saturday night, game one.
All sides on the OG.
Well, no, I thought you were looking at me, man, so I'm sorry. My bad. It's okay. It happens.
Your thoughts on the game, John?
It was good. It's a good game.
Here's A.J. Hinch after the game. John Lopez didn't say it very well. A.J. Hinch will say it very well. Here's the Astros skipper.
Big-time performances by big-time players today. Unbelievable job. Congratulations, ALDS champions. The best part, the moment's never too big for this team. And everybody's got to come through our house to get to the World Series.
That was a lot of champagne popping, by the way.
You
could hear them all popping in the middle.
I'm telling you.
Man, oh, man, what a night. What a night it was. It was understandably to be anxious after the first inning. I know you felt pretty comfortable. I never did. We talked about it yesterday. I just thought it was going to be kind of a nail-biter going down the stretch, and it was until you won your bet with Michael Brantley.
I mean, I thought the Astros would score 5 runs. I thought that was the lock of the century, score 4 in the first, and then all of a sudden the bats disappear, and it's not till the eighth when Brantley and Altuve homer when they scored those 5 runs. But enough about me. How about this Astros team? I mean, if George Springer and Michael Brantley, I think this is the key to this Astros team, dominating cats are just sitting there and lingering and allowing teams like the Rays to linger, is if the outfield can start hitting. Because there was a point in this series where this outfield only had 2 hits. Michael Brantley was 2 for 12, I believe.
Yeah.
And I think that was through 3 games. And George Springer was hitless. Josh Reddick was hitless. And Kyle Tucker was hitless. If this outfield hits, specifically the top of that order with George Springer and Michael Brantley, the Astros roll. And I know that this team has a lot of good players on it, but for some reason, I don't have numbers to back this up.
Mm-hmm.
There are probably numbers to back it up, but it just seems like just in watching, whenever George Springer is going, that's when the Astros are at their best.
No question. It just seems it's a weird – it's not a coincidence because he's obviously a part of the lineup, but what I'm saying is just like a weird kind of spark that he always gives this team. It's like if he's hitting, it's like, all right, everybody's going to start rolling on this thing. And it just works out that way. Same thing with Altuve, though. Altuve is that guy, and he was last night.
But I just always feel like he's ready to go.
He's always going to play. He's always going to play at a high level and get his. But he just seems to be the guy, the kind of the motor, you know, the engine.
And he's the one guy that's been here since the very beginning.
How about this? I'm glad you brought that up.
The bad times. I mean, that's the one guy that you can look at. And, you know, a lot of these guys, 20 years from now or whatever, when we're older, we're going to look back and we're going to say, man, I remember that Astros team and I remember how great it was. And a lot of people aren't even going to, you know, realize or even want to think about how bad things were for a long time. But when the Astros were losing 100 games a year, there was one thing worth watching. Well, Dallas Keuchel, I'll give him his props too, but there was one thing worth watching every single day, and that was that little second baseman doing what he was doing.
He was the second baseman through three 100-year lost seasons. You can't emphasize that enough. Altuve was here for three 100-yard lost seasons, and now he's been here for three 100-win seasons and a second consecutive, third consecutive ALCS championship series. I mean, come on, man.
How many of these guys on this team do you think have their jersey retired when all is said and done?
Oh, that's a good question, too.
15 years down the line. Altuve, for sure.
Altuve for sure.
Bregman, yes, eventually. He's already this young, and he's going to be an MVP. Verlander, maybe. Just
Verlander, probably. If they win another World Series, you got two with him.
Yeah, and then Springer, yes. And then if they sign Cole and they give him a long-term deal.
How long has Cole been here?
Cole's only been here 2 years. But if they sign him to the deal that he's going to demand.
Yeah.
Because if you sign him – I had my buddy text in.
Yeah,
shout
2 years,
TJ.
Even if you win a World Series with him, is not.
My buddy TJ texted in, thinks it's going to be probably like 7 years, $35 million each or something like that. 10-year deals aren't quite there. So it could be like – we could be looking at a 7-year, $245 million deal for Gerrit Cole.
Yeah, I believe it. I mean, he's earned it.
It's a lot of money. Alex Bregman, he got a new deal before the season, 5 years, $100 million. You got to think he's going to cash out as well. Could be the MVP. He got things started yesterday with an opposite field 2 RBI double. This is the baseball messiah talking about the matchup with the Yankees.
It's going to be a battle. They got a great team. It's very similar to our team. We both teams were a little banged up during the year, persevered until we got to the ALCS and we get a matchup with them again. I mean, it was unbelievable series that we had with them during the regular season.
And it's a rivalry, man. I mean, it's because
I mean, meet two times to go to the World Series in 3 years, then it's a rivalry.
Yeah, no, it's a rivalry. It becomes one. It's not one that you could have predicted. I mean, like when the Astros went to the ALC American League, you can't say, well, they're going to be big-time rivals with the Yankees. Yeah, sure they will.
Definitely couldn't say it at that time.
Yeah, sure they will.
Definitely couldn't say it at that time.
But it's they know each other so well. They've played each other, obviously, all the time, and now in two ALCSs. God, it's going to be good. It's going to be – and it's – man, night games at Yankee Stadium.
Best.
God,
the TV
so
just looks
good.
Better. You know, when the pinstripes,
so good.
When the pinstripes, regardless of how you feel about the Yankees, when the pinstripes are on the TV and you got Yankee Stadium and you got just that atmosphere, it doesn't get much better as far as watching
fans
stuff.
Are incredible. I mean, just incredible baseball fans. There are some who argue that the Yankees are bigger than the Giants in New York. And I shouldn't say some, a lot do.
I mean, who argues otherwise?
A lot do. Well, the Giants are huge. I mean,
yeah, but they're not the Yankees.
Yeah, no. Most people would say that's a baseball city, and the Yankees are
100% or
bigger than the Giants.
I don't think the Giants can even hold a candle to them.
Did I ever tell my Yankee Stadium story?
No, tell me.
Figgy. All right, this was one of my favorite Yankees fans moments.
Did you get stabbed?
No, it was hilarious. So it was a Yankees World Series against the Braves, I believe. What year was that? Whatever year that was.
Yankees, Braves, Jim Leyritz.
Yeah, all those.
96, I think.
Okay, so it was 96, and they put the media out in right field. This is old Yankee Stadium, in right field in the bleachers. But they rope you off from the fans. There's like a section where they put tables up. And so I'm out there hammering away at a column, and it's a late game as they are on Fox, you know. And so I'm trying to make deadline. I'm really hurried. And all of a sudden to my left, like from probably about 15 feet away, 10, 15 feet away, I hear, hey. And I'm the last guy up there. Most guys went to the workroom to finish their columns. But I wanted to just finish it right there and get it done. You know what I'm saying? So there's like maybe five guys in the whole section. And I'm one of them. And I hear, hey. Yeah, big New York accent. Hey, sports writer. Hey, sports writer. And I'm just ignoring him. I'm just working on my column. Don't even look at him. All right? And he went on for what seemed like forever, but it was probably a minute and a half, but just nonstop. Sports writer, hey, hey, hey. And so I finally just like kind of like exhale, and I turn and look at him, and he shoots the bird at me with both his hands.
That's the norm.
That's all he wanted to do. He stood there for 5 minutes, you know, looking at us and yelling at us and then yelling at me individually because I was the last one up there. Hey, sports writer, hey, sports writer, hey, sports writer. I finally turned around. His night was complete because he could give me the double rods.
Well, I think I can relate to it. So shout out to that guy.
Total stranger. Total stranger.
Shout out to that guy if you're still alive. We'll see two Astros ALCS games against the Yankees. We're also going to see Texans versus Chiefs. The Honey Badger versus former team. You heard Bill O'Brien say that the Honey Badger's a good player. Here's what the Honey Badger had to say about his former coach, Bill O'Brien.
Be another football game. You know, I spent a year with them, and I kind of know how this head coach thinks. So I'm expecting him to throw at me early on and try to get in my head. And so looking forward to it.
How'd you interpret that audio? I heard it this morning.
I think he's putting a fake chip on his shoulder. I don't know. Does he think that the coach doesn't think he's good? Because I've never heard Bill O'Brien say anything bad about him. I think it's just more of that fake gimmicky BS that comes with the Honey Badger where he tries to play stuff up in his head and just fire himself up.
Yeah, because I read.
I've never heard Bill O'Brien say anything other than glowing things about the Honey Badger.
And I read the quote before I heard the audio. And if you read the quote, you're like, okay, I mean, I know how he thinks, whatever. But the way he said it, it's almost like he's trying to, he hates me, you know, or something like that. Trying
that's
to animate.
How he does it.
No, he doesn't. Yeah.
Yeah, that's how the Honey Badger rolls.
Yeah.
We'll see. And honestly, if Bill O'Brien is smart, I would pick on him too because he hasn't been very good this year. He's been overrated. And there's people in Kansas City who are starting to see what we saw at the end of last season. Honey Badger ain't the Honey Badger no more. What's his nickname, John?
Honey Boo Boo.
There we go. Mm-hmm. Rockets making news. Their season is going to start pretty soon. They're in China. We know about the China controversy with Daryl Morey. They were grilled by a CNN reporter yesterday. Well, Mike D'Antoni was, and this is what that sounded like. This is Rockets head coach Mike D'Antoni being asked about the controversy between the NBA and China and China and the Rockets.
Do you have a message for your Chinese fans who, rightly or wrongly, may have felt let down by the NBA this week?
You know what? It's a tough situation. It's very difficult. Adam Silver speaks for the NBA. I work for the NBA. I go with Adam. Whatever, you know, Commissioner Silver will do the right thing. And you can't answer questions like that because you're wrong no matter what. So, well, I'm here to speak basketball, talk basketball. Whatever I say is not right.
What's it going to take to get Chinese NBA fans back?
I don't know. I have no clue. Hey, I coach basketball. I'm not a diplomat or around the world. I coach basketball.
Are you concerned for your fans, though? Sorry, for your players, given...
My players?
Yeah.
No.
I feel bad for guys like Mike D'Antoni because the thing about Westbrook, the thing about Harden, and the thing about D'Antoni in not answering these questions, they've never really been public with their political stances. Like, I couldn't tell you which way they lean. I couldn't tell you anything. They literally just talk about basketball, and that's it. They don't really take political stances. So they're in positions to where they're being asked these questions, and they've never wanted this kind of platform. They know what their specialty is, and that's what they go with. Guys like Steve Kerr, guys like Greg Popovich, those are the guys who really want to talk about these types of things a little bit more, and they're the ones that are kind of having to bite their tongue.
I also am a little bit amused by – you know, those people say, well, all these players and coaches will talk about politics, but they won't talk about this. Why is that? Because they've been told you cannot say this. You cannot talk about this. I'm sure if there was an edict, you can't talk about whatever the political thing is, either side, you know, that they would maybe they'd complain about it. But if your paycheck is dependent on it, you know, I think they could still do it. But much like Daryl Morey, just be prepared for the consequence. So I think most of these guys are just weighing, well, do I talk about it anyway because I really feel strongly about this versus, you know, the consequence of costing not even the money per se. The money's already been gone, you know, because of the Morey incident. But, you know, the the problems, my own self-imposed problems, they're weighing that. So you can't win here if you're a player or a coach.
I'm just scared of China, honestly. Like, I'm not,
I love when you say
that. I won't even tweet the word China because I'm afraid that all of a sudden I'm going to get, like, all kinds of messages, and all of a sudden dudes are going to show up with AK-47s outside my house with a rope, and I'll never be seen from again. So that's just me. I'm scared to piss off China. And Daryl Morey, there's a lot more people, John, that are agreeing with you that Daryl Morey, it might be a clean exit, but Daryl Morey's role in the NBA, his days are probably numbered, I would say.
I think so. You hate to see anybody lose their job, you know, especially someone who's been so successful at it. But I don't see any way out for the league or the Rockets. I really don't. It's going to be a soft landing, as we mentioned yesterday. Yeah. It's going to be him, quote unquote, resigning when everybody knows better. And they're going to have some kind of settlement because he's. I reiterate this every day because some people misinterpret. He's on the right side. Daryl Morey is on the right side of this story. You know, supporting
morally
and politically. You know, supporting protesters in Hong Kong who are fighting for freedom. He's on the right side. But there is the other side of the coin is there's no way the NBA can move forward with China as Daryl Morey is still here.
And with the owner he has, I just got a sense that, you know, Tillman Fertitta is a bottom line guy. He's a business guy. If he senses that he's losing that money, I just don't quite know how he recovers from it. Landry Locker, John Lopez in the Loop, Sports Radio 610. That is the somewhat bad news going on in Houston. But there's so much good news, and not only is there good news, it's going to be on display this weekend. The most stacked sports weekend in the history of Houston. We're going to break it down next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.